Rejoice always. Never cease praying. Render constant thanks. Such is God's will for you. That's what we heard Paul telling his good friends, the Thessalonians, in our second reading. People often ask me, how do we find the will of God for us? Well, there you have it. The will of God, according to Paul, is that we rejoice always, we never cease praying, and render constant thanks. Of course, it's a bit more complicated than that, isn't it? But this Sunday, the third Sunday of Advent, has always been called Rejoice Sunday, or Gaudete, after the Latin word that means rejoice. So what is the reason for our rejoicing? For Paul, it's because the Lord is near at hand. In fact, when he wrote this first letter to the Thessalonians, he thought the second coming was going to happen very soon. Some years later, when Paul wrote to another community of Christians, this time at Philippi, he repeated the same exhortation. Rejoice in the Lord, he said. Again I say, rejoice. But this time he had revised his opinion about the second coming. The interesting thing about that second exhortation to rejoice is that Paul was in prison when he wrote it, awaiting what would eventually be his execution. And yet he could still say to his friends, rejoice. Now, if you don't mind, I'd like to tell you about a personal experience I had a number of years ago, about 30 years, as a matter of fact. I was asked to preside at the Eucharist in the Maryland State Penitentiary on this very Sunday, Gaudete Sunday. Imagine my feelings as I prepared and then preached about rejoicing to a crowd of prisoners. But it was the year that the passage from Paul's letter to the Philippians was the second reading. And so I told them that Paul was in prison when he wrote those words, that he could rejoice and tell others to rejoice, even though he was, like the people I was talking to, a prisoner. But even worse than their situation, he was facing death. He was equivalently on death row. Of course, I had no idea how this was going over with the prisoners. I don't even today remember exactly what I said. But at any rate, and I do remember this, what I'm going to tell you now, very, very vividly. After the Mass was finished, two of the men remained behind to speak with me. One thanked me for what he called my consoling words. He had been very depressed and upset with his situation, and he claimed that what I said made him feel better. Well, what he just said made me feel better. So I told him to thank God for that and to remember that God loved him and was with him always, no matter what. The other man said, oh, Father, he said, I'm luckier than St. Paul was. I can rejoice today because I know that I'm getting out of this place in time for Christmas. It's the best Christmas present I've ever received, he said. Now, when he said, I'm getting out of this, he didn't say place. He used a word that I can't repeat here in church. But, you know, these were wonderful examples of how God prepares us for his coming into our lives. We usually think of Advent as a time when we prepare for God's coming, when we make straight his path. But what is much more important, it seems to me, is what God does for us. Here were two men living not just on the margins of society, but outside society, as we usually experience it. But they both had a very personal experience of God in their lives, God present and working in their lives. For them, it was a time to rejoice. Well, we too can rejoice on this Gaudete Sunday as we reflect and pray about how God comes to us often in surprising ways to prepare us to receive him, not just on Christmas Day, but every day. No matter who we are, or where we are, or what we are doing, God is with us. Let's pay attention to him so that we can rejoice and be glad always.